Good morning and welcome to Veritas Community Church. We're doing this a little bit differently this week since the Navy has told me that I'm allowed to be at home and at work, and that's it. So we're doing this from my home. So this week what we're doing is we're continuing through Paul's creed that he presents in 1 Corinthians 15, but what we're really doing is we're looking at the triumphal entry of Christ. Since this is basically the entire opus of the New Testament is this week here, this Passion Week, from the triumphal entry to his resurrection, I felt like what we would do is we would really break down this triumphal entry in such a way that we would note who Jesus is based on the triumphal entry. So I'm going to tie this triumphal entry into the eight I Am statements in the book of John. Now, John 12, he writes, "On the next day, a large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, began to shout, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So there were crowds, lots of crowds going on in this. People just crowding around Jesus. And, you know, this wasn't a solitary incident. Right. Crowds constantly were coming to Jesus. You know, they brought crowds to him when they heard of the healings he had been doing. They brought crowds to him at the feeding of the 5,000. There are crowds all over the place in the New Testament. Right? And then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Right? He just finished the feeding of the 5,000. He was doing another miracle, and the crowd said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." John 6:34-36. So what he's talking about here is these people, they have seen him. Right? They've received this bread. But Jesus is saying, "I am the bread. Right? As much as I fed 5,000, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who continues to give this bread. I will sustain you." Right? So they were trailing him. Right? They were following him around. They're trailing him everywhere he goes. But, you know, they were trailing because of the signs he did. They were trailing him. They were interested in him because of the miracles he was doing. This is a "what can you do for me" attitude. That's what they had with Jesus. It's, "What can you do for me? What have you done for me now?" Are we treating Jesus like some magic genie? Or are we loving him as God? As we love God? As he is God? The problem is even in today's day, right? And I see this a lot, especially in social media. People saying, "Oh well, Jesus is doing this. Jesus, it's done. We prayed for it. It's done. Jesus said, 'If you pray for things in my name, it will be done.' Right? It'll be done in God's time." Even when we look at this COVID-19 that's going around and all of the awfulness that is entailing. Right? People are still praying to Jesus like he's a magic genie. Like that's the only time they really have lifted up their voices to him is "God, heal us of this. Let me just rub on the lamp and the genie will pop out and I get my three wishes." That's what they're treating him like. But are they loving him as God? The answer to that is no. Too often it's no. We do not love Jesus as God. There were palm trees, and they were setting out these palm trees. And Jesus talks about a tree. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. That's John 15, 1 to 4. Right? So this is our second I am statement. Right? So every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Right? So Jesus calls for us to be rooted in him. He's the vine. Right? That's our sustenance. That's where we're going to draw our nutrients from. If we're not drawing our nutrients from him, then where are we getting them from? What are we doing? Are we doing anything that's worthwhile? Are we even able to see what God is calling us to do? We're not being sustained by anything if we're not rooted in Christ. This means we have to do what he did, right? He grew. Are we growing? He preached. Are we preaching? We have to go where he went, right? He went to the unloved. He went to the poor, to the destitute. Are we going to the poor, the destitute, and the unloved? Are we saying, hey, I got my church family, that's good enough for me? Are we saying, you know, I don't need to do what Jesus did because I'm saved by grace through faith? But when we say that, we forget that faith is an action word. Faith has action to it. It means we have to trust. And if we're not trusting, are we going to act as he did? Are we going to go where he went? Are we going to do the things? Are we going to obey the commands that have been given to us? The answer to that is no. And we know that. We know that we won't do these things because we're not acting as Jesus did. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. Are we being holy? Are we being holier than thou? We've got to remember that there's a difference in those two things. That we have to be holy as he was holy. Right? This is about he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? So Thomas, he's been absent. He wasn't with the disciples the first time Jesus came. And Jesus shows up and they're in a locked room, right? It says the doors were shut. It really means the doors were locked. Everything is shuttered up. Nobody can get in without permission, right? They're going to figure out who you are before you get into it. And Thomas is in there with them. Jesus shows up. Oh, sorry. This is before then, right? So this is at the last week, right? They're together. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can I know where I'm going if I don't know the way that I'm getting there? If I don't know where I'm going, I can't plot a course. There's no map that's available. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Are we trying to make other ways to get to Jesus, get to God than through Jesus? Right? It's like he's saying, look at my life. Do what I do. Follow the path I'm on. Jesus believed himself to be God's agent to bring in the kingdom of heaven. He believed himself to be that. Now, it doesn't matter who you're talking about. Any historical expert who has evaluated the New Testament scriptures will say that Jesus believed himself to be God's agent. The difference between Christianity and anybody else with regards to this is that Christianity says that he was God's agent to bring in the kingdom of heaven. He told people to look at what he was doing and do the same. Do what I'm doing. Right? I am the way. Follow me. Follow this path and you'll get there. Do what I do. Are we following what Jesus did? Are we obeying his commands every step of the way? Or are we obeying a caricature? Are we obeying something we've made up, something that's not what's in the Bible? Are we following somebody who is not Jesus? Because if we are, then we've got problems with our walk, because we're not walking the way Jesus did. Make way for him who comes in the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? Jesus is talking to some Jewish leaders. And he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw this day coming. And he was glad that it was coming. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham? Abraham was a long time ago, Jesus. How are you going to make that up? You're not even 50, and yet you've seen Abraham? Ooh. You think you're a big deal. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why did they pick up stones to throw at Jesus? Why are they trying to kill Jesus? Jesus never said he's God, right? That's what people will tell you about the New Testament. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. Because I am is God's name. It's the name that God gives for himself. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the name is Hayah. I am who I am. Hayah. That was changed into Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, the tetragrammaton. They changed it to that because nobody was to speak God's name. And here's Jesus, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus calling himself God. Blasphemy if it's not true. This is what the Jews understood that Jesus was saying when he called himself I am. That Jesus is indeed calling himself God. I am God. That's what he is saying there. This is why they took up stones to kill him, because blasphemy was punishable by death. And he had obviously, if he wasn't God, committed blasphemy. And this was done to fulfill. Now, fulfill is used a lot. The word is plerao. Plerao. Right? It means to fulfill. Matthew uses this 14 times with regard to who Jesus was. Matthew talks 14 times about different prophecies that Jesus is fulfilling. Why did Matthew worry about that so much? Because his book is written as an apologetic to Jewish believers. He's showing Jewish believers who he is. His entire ministry was spent fulfilling what had been spoken by the prophets. Even those things he had no control over. Right? Did he have control over whether he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? Yes. So did he cause the fulfillment of it? Yes. Did he have control over whether he was born in Bethlehem or not? No. Jesus was in the womb. Could he control where his parents birthed him at? No, but God could. God sent them there. How did he do that? By census. So, Jesus spent his entire ministry fulfilling. Right? And then it talks about lacking in wisdom. Right? But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James 1, 5 through 8. If you want wisdom, ask. Don't doubt that he'll give it to you. God will grant you wisdom. He will grant you this supernatural understanding without having studied the matter. Will he give you that? Yes. How will he do that? Well, he'll give you wisdom through dreams and visions and his word, and you know, there are a number of ways that the Bible says that God will grant you wisdom. But the fact doesn't change that God grants wisdom to those who ask for it. And how does he do this? You pray. You talk to God. You ask him. You petition to him to receive these things. Have you asked God for what you desire? If you don't have something, have you asked God for it? Because if you haven't, then you might not get it. And if you haven't asked God for it, why are you complaining about it? Do we spend our time asking God? Do we spend our time petitioning to God for these things? Or do we spend our time complaining? Oh God, I don't have this. God, I need this for this. That doesn't work. Complaints aren't requests. God won't always give us everything we ask for, but we still have to ask if we need it. God's not going to just say, you know, blanket, yes. Talked about this in the garden, right? Jesus is there and he's praying and he says, God, take this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes the answer is no. God didn't take the cup from Jesus. Jesus continued to suffer to the point of crucifixion and death. You want understanding, right? How do you get that? Jesus, he can give you understanding. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, there's that fulfillment again, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. On the third day. Not after 3 days. Some people want to make it say that. Right? That's going to be a key to what we're talking about next week as we talk about the resurrection. Is it's on the third day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the third day is Sunday. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So it's going to go from Jerusalem and it's going to expand outward until it reaches all nations. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. It will confess that Jesus is Lord. How about you? Where does our understanding come from? It comes from the scriptures. Are you opening them? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you picking up the Bible? Are you saying, get enough Bible, you know, I'll just watch a sermon. I'll just listen to this person or that person. But you're not actually opening the scriptures. That's a problem. If you don't see that as a problem, it's a bigger problem than I thought. How can you understand Jesus and who he says he is if you don't know who he is? If you don't know who Jesus is and you don't love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, how can you understand him? There's a lot of times that I really have trouble understanding my wife. I have trouble understanding Rachel sometimes until I reflect on it and I think about who is she? And then it enlightens me to understanding what's going on when I think about who that person is. If we're not thinking about who Jesus is when we're trying to understand him, we're going to have a less than perfect understanding of what he's saying. And then it talks about, you know, these people, they came because he had risen Lazarus. So, you know, Jesus, he rises, he's getting ready to rise Lazarus, and his sister's like, he wouldn't have died if you'd been here. And he says, he will be raised. He says, yeah, I understand. He'll be raised in the end of times, but what about now? Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's John 11, 25 to 26. Right? It will never die. Well, yes, we die and we go to the grave. He's talking about an eternal death. He's talking about eternity. Where will your eternal soul rest? That's what Jesus is worried about here. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about, oh, well, you know, you're never going to die. You're going to live forever, you know, in the flesh. No, that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is if you believe in him, if you live and believe in him, you will never die. Wait, live? Yes, you have to live in him. Means you have to do what he did. Follow his footsteps. That is clear throughout the entire body of scripture, is that we have to walk as Jesus did. Faith is not merely belief, it is belief with action. John 3:36 says we have to believe and obey. He's saying here, you ain't seen nothing yet, right? Jesus raised Lazarus. He raised Jairus' daughter, right? He did these things so that God would get the glory, right? But the scriptures are clear that Jesus was raised by God the Father. That's in Galatians 1:1. By the Son, he raised himself. That's John 10. And by the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. So all persons of the Trinity were involved in Jesus' resurrection. So God raised Jesus from the dead. And by God, that is a triune God. It's not just one person in the Trinity. It's all three show up as having raised Jesus from the dead. This isn't a contradiction. If we understand God rightly, we understand how all three of these receive credits. How all three persons get credit for the raising of Jesus from the dead. And they will testify about who he is, right? He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisee said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. They're saying, hey, it requires two people to testify. You can't just have one. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. I know both who I am and where I'm headed. I know what happened. I've known this from the beginning of time. It's not just me testifying, because there are more persons in the Trinity than one. He's saying he's not speaking for himself, but he's speaking God's words to them. That gives the testimony of two persons. Pharisees here are trying to tell him to silence his disciples. And he said, even if they were silent, the stones would speak. The stones would cry out. The question is are we being silent? Are we afraid to go out and tell people who Jesus is? Are we merely just kind of, I'll have my belief and I'll just let it ride? Are we failing the Great Commission? Are we failing to tell others who Jesus is? Are we forcing the stones to cry out? Romans 1 says that the world will cry out who Jesus is. That it does. It cries out to who God is. Is that the only thing that's crying out to this generation, who God is? Or are we all focused on it? John 10, 9 through 10, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and destroy, steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Christ came to give us life, right? But we have to enter through the door. If we're not getting through the door, right, then we're not getting there. Right? Jesus tells us that God alone is good. Says that all good and perfect gifts come from above. So only those things which come from God are good. We focus so much on man-made philosophy, man-made traditions, man-made religions. Are we focusing enough on God being good? On that being who He is? Well, people want to talk about God as, you know, as genocide in the Old Testament, and that's God's fault, and God did that. You know. Was that good? Well, yeah. Obviously. You know, the Euthyphro dilemma that Plato put out. You know, he says, you know, is something good because the gods have commanded it? Or does God command it because it's good? Well, that's a both and. It's not an either or. God won't command something unless it's good. Right? And something's not good unless God commands it. So we've got to be careful with falling into these traps of philosophy, because sometimes they give us a false dichotomy or a bifurcation that, hey, it can only be this or this. It can't be both. But this one is clearly both, because God is good. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. It's John 10, 14 to 16. Right? Is Jesus our leader? Is that who we are following? Are we following someone without checking the path they're on? Are we just blindly following somebody who we call to be a good leader? Are we making sure that we're walking the right path? So as we reflect on Palm Sunday, we reflect on the things that have happened this week and over the course of the next week. Right? Are we following the path that Jesus would have us go on? Are we doing things our own way? Are we going the way we want to go? Are we going the way Jesus commanded us to go? That's really what I want you to think about this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as this gets sent out on the internet, pray for all who would hear it.